was read to you from 1 Thessalonians. The last three Sundays of the church year, if you're not familiar with it, you look at those various texts, and they deal with the end time. And this one today in particular. Last week I preached on the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins. And the one thing that this text brings out, and that the attitude of people down through history, in fact, that's why this text in Thessalonians was written by Paul, I believe, to let people know that the end time that when God ends the world is going to be in sometime in the near future. But the people at that time were looking at it at that very moment. And so the text was written. And down through history, as I said, people have been looking for this event. During, was it 1841, 1842? The Seventh-day Adventists said it's going to end at that particular time. The time came and went. So what do you do? They said, oh, this was a spiritual cleansing of the temple. Well, you remember, what, about 40, 50 years ago, there was another one called 1984. Remember that one? People have been looking for this. When will the world end? And you hear these various sects that are often on their own, and they're talking about, they're preparing for the end time, the time that God will finish his work. And that is, he created the world, and he will end the world. How about that experience? Could that be very frightening? Think about it for a moment. It could be very traumatic. In fact, Scripture talks about that the event is like a woman in childbirth. You know? You look forward to the event, but there's a lot of pain involved, isn't it? And then afterwards, what happens? When you see that little child in your arms, what do you think, mothers? God has given you a blessing, right? And that's the way it will be for us after that event of the end time. The blessing that God has waiting for us in heaven is indescribable. But until then, we have to think of the way, the sinful way that we think. And Paul reminds us that this event is going to be like a thief in the night. We will not know when that event happens, just like that. And then it'll be too late for those that are lost. If you remember from the gospel lesson that was just read to you, about the master giving the various bags of gold or whatever it is to these people, and he goes away. Does he let the people know when he's coming back? No. And you see, that's the way it's going to be at the end of the world. God is not going to warn us. He's warning us now to be ready. That's the important thing. But he's not going to tell us exactly when it's going to happen. And what I could never understand, and I still don't to this day, is that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. He knows God. He knows the Father. He and the Father are one. And yet he even said, remember, he didn't even know. He said, only the Father knows. And the Father knows when that last person is going to be brought into the kingdom of God. There's another story of a farmer that Jesus talked about who had tremendous crops. And what did he, remember what he did? He said, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to build bigger barns, and then I'm going to sit back and enjoy life. And Jesus says, oh, what a mistake. He said, and he called that farmer a fool because that farmer wasn't prepared for the event that was going to happen. And in my preparation for the message on the five wise and five foolish virgins, there's a preparation that needs to be there for the Christian. The five foolish did not have that preparation, did they? They were not ready for the bridegroom to come. As you remember, and you gals, that there was a 24-hour period that the groom would come to claim the bride. She had no idea when he would be coming, except within that 24-hour period. What do you think of that, girls? You shake your head, no. No. But that's the way it was in those days. And that's a reminder for us today also. We need that preparation. What did the five wise virgins have? They had extra oil. That oil is the Holy Spirit. The lamp was the Word of God. And the wick was their faith. That's something none of us have initially, do we? But what is it? It's a gift of God. It is a gift of the Father because of what happened behind me, right? That's what our faith is all about. It's about that event that's hanging there on that wall. Because you see, it is at that time that Jesus won for us all the blessings and privileges that he has with the Father. And he's passing them on to you. How does he do that? Does he just say, okay, here it is? Not exactly. He gives us baptism, doesn't he? Look at this. He gives us this. Because what does that do? It brings us into that relationship with the Father that Jesus earned. And then why do we take the Lord's Supper? Is it out of habit, ritual? I hope not. Because you see, it is the Lord's Supper that keeps us into that relationship that was built in our bodies, our minds, our souls when we were baptized. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It strengthens our faith. It keeps us prepared for that event when God will call us home. I don't know about you, but one of the things I've been praying for is God end this world. Why do we do that? Why do you think I say that? Because I want to be, like Paul said, it is better for me to be with Christ, but God has something waiting for me. And many of you know that in this past summer, it was very difficult for me. I had some very challenging times health-wise. And I realize now that God brought me through those events for something like this today. He gives me the opportunity to share with you the good news. The good news that how much the Father loves you and me. I cannot express that enough. So how do we get to be prepared? Number one, we need to do what we did at the beginning of the service. What do we do first? What should we do at the beginning of the worship service? Ask for forgiveness. That is key. Because now, once that happens and we hear those wonderful words, how much God loves you, God forgives you all of your sins, now we can come into the worship service and we can be prepared. See, God wants us to be prepared daily, not just on Sundays. And I've down through my ministry, I've tried to share with the people that our worth, our values, and our life with the Heavenly Father is not just Sundays. It's a 24/7, isn't it? 365 days of the year. It's every time, every moment. Our preparation that God provides for us is for our benefit so we can be with our eternal Father. And you see, that preparation was begun when we were brought into that relationship with our Heavenly Father through our baptism. In several of our churches in the district, in the circuit, the baptism font is way back there. And I can, if I, help me out, dear. I can remember when we had our, in our churches, if the baptism font was up front, I tried to move it up forward. Why do you think that was so? Because the entrance into the kingdom is through baptism. I personally feel that, and I know that we celebrate our birthdays. I just celebrated one about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I know we celebrate birthdays, But shouldn't we celebrate baptism? Because that's so important, isn't it? That's one of the most crucial events in our lives. That begins this preparation. And keep in mind, it's not something we have. All of this is a gift of God. Again, a reminder of the five wise virgins. What you have, what you should have. You should have the Holy Spirit. There's no problem with that. He provides it. He provides that, doesn't he, for us? You have the Word. We just heard the Word read. Now the Word is espoused to you. We should have daily devotions. Because in that, with that Word, God daily prepares us for that final event. And you have your faith. And that's something that too was given to you by the Holy Spirit. Some of you would recognize this name, Dr. Ralph Bowman. He was a classmate of Pastor Beal, one of our retired clergy here. And he became a good friend of mine. Very loving man, very caring man. And he once told us, he said, in this life, we're living at about 3 to 5 minutes to 12 midnight for the end time. What do you think of that? I believe he's right. When you look at the events that are happening around the world today, don't you want the Lord to end it all and to go to be with him forever, to enjoy those blessings that he has for you and for me? You have those things that are necessary. You have the cross. Last week, as I was preparing my sermon for last Sunday, I took one of my old sermons out, and I read that thing, and I said, oh, did I goof? I missed the whole point of the text. And one of the things that I'm making a point now, every sermon has to have that included. I did not have it. I asked the Lord for forgiveness. Every sermon has to have the cross, because that's where all this, everything that Christ was pointing to, that's where it happened. That's where your forgiveness and my forgiveness was obtained. Something that was evil in the Old Testament that is now blessed by our Heavenly Father. So daily, every one of us, as we live our lives, as we live with those around us, we need to remind them of the cross. We need to remind them what Jesus did for me, what he did for you. And something that I hope this message will help you. Yes, it will be a frightening experience at that time. But what about you as a Christian? What do you think it'll be like for you? I see a smile on your face. That's it, isn't it? We don't have to have a frown. We don't have to be afraid. Because whether we are sleeping or whether we are awake, who is there with us? Jesus Christ. What more can I say? He is the one that will take you through that door into eternal life. And for the Christian, it's just going through a door. No fear. Great anticipation. Looking forward to the joy and that great banquet that God has waiting for you and for me. And I can say this with absolute certainty. That is guaranteed. I promise you. Amen.